Bibles, if you have one, or pull it up on your phone. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. It says there verses 11 and 12. I'm going to just read a couple of verses as well before that. So look at verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, beginning at verse 1, just down to a little bit of verse 5. But all this I laid to heart. This is Solomon, the preacher. Examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die. And then look at verse 11. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our wonderful God stands forever. Amen. On January 11, 2022, I received a phone call from my little brother. Dad is dead. My dad did what he always did. Stepped outside for a smoke in the morning. He grew up in the 50s. So he walked outside for a smoke, turned on the coffee pot, sat down for his daily study of the word, and his heart stopped. The coroner said it was instant. So last Friday morning, of course, my good friend Joel sent me a text. My friend, your pastor, that's why I'm here tonight, to bring you the word, to serve you, to encourage my brother, to encourage you. That night, though, last Friday night, my firstborn son, who's a college basketball player, took a fall on the court so hard that his coach said it was the worst he'd ever seen. Concussion, bleeding in his brain. Another college player, just a couple of months ago, actually died from the exact same injury. By God's kindness, my son got to the ER, was admitted. In one moment, you feel how thin the line is between life and death. Scripture tells us the truth. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You and I are not as sovereign as we think we are. And so here's the one thing that I want you to know on a Sunday evening. You are going to die, often sooner than you think. So prepare now by belonging to Jesus and living ready for him. Ecclesiastes is a very honest and real book. And the author, Solomon, laments life under the sun because it's fallen, it's fragile, it's fleeting, and it oftentimes to us, mere mortals, feels futile. If you're here tonight, you're not sure even what you believe, you're in the right place. Ecclesiastes is for people who have a lot of angst and hard questions. And to give us some resolution, I'm going to turn to an old summary of the Christian faith to guide us in a little bit of a understanding of what the king is saying here and how it resolves in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism asks us a question, and it answers that question, and it gives us a strong answer for life's hardness. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Do you know that question? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body, soul, life, and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all of my sins with his precious blood. He has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. And he so watches over me that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. And because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And so Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 tells us this. You're not in control as much as you think you are. You are not in control as much as you think you are. And here Ecclesiastes begins with a very careful observation. He says, again I saw these kinds of phrases and sayings in this kind of writing in the Bible, what we call wisdom literature. It's making observations from life. And so Solomon now lists five laws of the jungle in verse 11. Things that you and I observe every single day. The race goes to the swift. I mean, we read to our kids tortoise versus the hare, right? But we know it's a fantasy. It's a fable. It's just a little story to help them along when they're feeling down. The race goes to the swift. The battle goes to the strong. Bread goes to the wise. Riches go to the intelligent. Favor goes to those with knowledge. That's the law of the jungle, baby, right? And Ecclesiastes says, not so fast. Not so fast. And he summarizes with a very unnerving phrase, time and chance happen to them all. From our vantage point, life just happens. One accident, one phone call, one appointment to the doctor, one car wreck. Ecclesiastes confronts your fantasy of engineered invulnerability as Southern Californians. I'm from here, I can say that. When that fantasy dies, something else can finally thrive. Humility, prayer, and a sober joy because you and I stop pretending to be God. So you're going to die, but you're not in control of when. That's what the verse 11 says. That's what the king of Israel once said. You're going to die. You're not in control of when. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Death is certain. Death is certain. Its timing isn't. Death is certain. Its timing isn't. And so verse 12 sharpens the point of verse number 11. Man does not know his time. This unsettling sentence is the fear at every funeral. It's the haunt in every hospital. I was just there for 3.5 days with my older son. That's what everyone fears. Man does not know his time. And Solomon gives us two images there in verse number 12. Notice those. Fish taken in an evil net. Birds caught in a snare. What are those images meant to communicate to you and me tonight? Well, the emphasis is not merely death, but suddenness. Suddenness. When it suddenly falls upon them, he says. And so this word of suddenness has a way of undoing our carefully managed lives. When it suddenly falls upon them, man does not know his time. Some deaths come at the end of a very long road with plenty of time to say goodbye. I didn't have that chance with my dad. It happened. It was instantaneous. It completely floored us. Other deaths come, as the writer says here, like a trap. You're snared. You're trapped. A phone call. An accident. A diagnosis, a heart that simply stops in the morning. And so he makes this comparison between the fish and the birds. So the children of man are snared at an evil time. Again, he's observing the world. This is what life looks like. This is what it feels like to you and to me. Now, Ecclesiastes isn't being macabre, it's being merciful to us, to wake us up, to wake us up. We're not in control. We're going to die. We can't control when. And when you finally accept that reality, that death can come suddenly, you begin to write, to ask the right questions. Am I ready to meet my maker? When I know that I can die on the way home tonight before I see my wife and children, am I ready to meet my maker? Do I belong to Jesus? Or do I just have an acquaintance with religious things? If my life ended tonight, what would it reveal about what I truly loved? When you come to grips with your mortality, you begin to ask the right questions that lead you to have the right answer. And Ecclesiastes presses this question into our thick craniums. We don't want to believe that we are going to die. We want to believe the fantasy. We can control it. We can know when it's going to happen. We can plan 100% for that moment. But Ecclesiastes presses you and I down, deep down with this question, with this: if my time is unknown, how should I live tonight? Here's a spoiler alert. You already know this. You're not going to get a notification on your phone when it's your last day. You know that, right? You're not going to get a little notification, you know, a nice little ringtone. Hey, last day, live it up, bro. It's not going to happen. Moses prayed. This is why Moses prayed. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days so that we can live wisely, so that we can prepare now for that final day. And so if you don't know your time, you need a comfort that can hold you when your clock stops ticking. The only comfort strong enough for life and in death. Solomon is sort of lamenting. He's lamenting here. He's sorrowful. He's frustrated. Life just happens this way. People die. They're like birds. They're like fish. They're snared. They're snatched. They're dead. But the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us to the one and sure comfort that we need. A heart of wisdom, as Moses prayed, is knowing now who will hold you at death. It's knowing now who will hold you at death. Again, it's not as if you and I can just, you know, manage our lives pretty good now, and we're going to need a little bit of assistance at the end. You know, we plan it all out. We write down the pastor's going to visit me in the hospital. He's going to read me some questions from the catechism. He's going to read me some Bible verses, Psalm 23. We're all going to gather around in a circle, and we're going to hold hands and pray, and then I'm going to breathe my last. What is your only comfort in life and in death? The catechism asks us for a comfort that we can lean on for our whole life, now in preparation for death. And that comfort is that I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I belong body, soul, life, and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. Not my own. In a life so fragile, fleeting, and that feels so futile, because I know I'm going to die, what makes Jesus my only comfort? I belong to him. I belong to him. Everyone belongs to someone or something. Sin and the self, the devil and fear, or to Jesus. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Heidelberg Catechism says three massive things to resolve the angst and the sorrow of life, no matter the timing of my death. Christ has paid for my sins. Christ has delivered me from the devil. And Christ keeps me until the end. I don't know when my time will come to an end on this earth, but I know this: Jesus has fully paid for all of my sins with his precious blood. You see, my greatest problem isn't chance and the randomness of life, or illness, or even uncertainty, or even death. My biggest problem is guilt before a holy God. Guilt is the feeling that we have of shame when we know what we are doing is wrong, and then we have regret afterwards. Or guilt is that feeling that you have of needing to perform to make amends for what you've done. But then after you make those amends as best you could, you know deep down inside it was not enough. That feeling, that human feeling, that's guilt. That's guilt before God. And God has given you a conscience in his grace. He's given you a conscience to know that feeling. Jesus met that guilt with his own blood. And so when your conscience accuses you, beloved, don't argue with your conscience. Just point it to the cross. Don't argue with it. You're not going to win. You can't win. Point it to the cross. Jesus Christ has fully paid for all of my sins with his precious blood. What of it? What of it? I don't know when my time will end, but I know this. Jesus delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. Jesus, the Son of God, partook of our human nature that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil. And so by death, Jesus broke the devil's tyrannical power over your life. And by resurrection, he proves that Satan doesn't get the last word over you. And so when fear grips your mind and it says death wins, again, just answer it. Don't even argue with it. Just answer it. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when my time will come to an end. I don't know when my name will be called. But I know this. Jesus watches over me, that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. You see, Ecclesiastes is writing from about life from our point of view, from our perspective, from our small experience. But the Heidelberg Catechism writes from God's point of view. Remember this. You're not in control, but you're also not abandoned, beloved. The net, the snare, to use the imagery of Ecclesiastes, the time might be evil. From our point of view, the net, the snare, the time of our death might be evil. But those things come to us within the plan of our Heavenly Father. All things, our Heidelberg Catechism says, all things, loved ones, must work together for my salvation. And so when life feels unstable, which is going to happen tomorrow, probably going to happen on the way home if you have kids, right? Rest in the Father's steady hand. Rest in the Father's steady hand. Because I belong to Christ, he does two things inside of me. Christ has done all this for me outside of me, but within me, Christ by the Holy Spirit is assuring me of eternal life. Again, verse 12 says, man does not know his time. Most people don't reject Christ, they just postpone Christ. The gospel says, though, that you can know your destiny now, because your destiny rests not in your grip or your knowledge or your understanding, but it rests in Christ's grip on you. I don't know my time, but I know and I am known by the one who does. And so by his Holy Spirit, he's assuring me, but he's also making me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Solomon spoke about this. If you look at verses 7 through 10, I'll just allude to these. You can look on your own, but Solomon mentions this. And again, it's out of his disillusionment. He's speaking this way, but what he says is true. Eat with joy, drink with merriment, enjoy your wife, work with might. In other words, receive God's good gifts in this life with gratitude because your days actually matter. Even when your days are numbered, they actually matter to God. And so serve him with gusto, with passion, and with fervor. And so if that comfort is real, that I belong to Jesus Christ, who has paid for my sins, who has delivered me from the devil and all of his minions, and who's actually upholding me now and preserving me, assuring me of these realities, and allowing me by his Holy Spirit to serve him, then don't postpone. Don't postpone being right with God. Come to him now. Come to him now. If your time is unknown, postponing repentance, the turn from self to the Savior. If your time is unknown, postponing your repentance is spiritual insanity. Because it's God's good gift to you, his grace to you, in getting you to turn from sin, the sin that you've made peace with, the secret habits that are actually killing you from the inside out, and from trying to believe that you have rule over your own self. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring, the proverb says. The gospel says, though, you can come to Jesus Christ now. You're going to die, so come to Christ now. In your heart, turn to him. Ask him for forgiveness, for the U-turn on the road of life. And after the service, tell someone or come and find me. I would love to pray with you. So hear it again. Because you're going to die, believe in Jesus. Belong to Christ and live life as preparation for meeting him face to face. You're going to die, so belong to Jesus and live your life as a preparation for seeing him face to face. How does this change your tonight? And Lord willing, how does this change your tomorrow morning? Well, let the comfort of belonging to Jesus produce in you a gratitude, a thankfulness, a joy. If Christ has paid for me, he watches over me, he assures me, he's shaping me from the inside out, then my days become purposeful. Again, Solomon's writing from his own vantage point. He's lamenting. He's just observing the randomness, the struggles of life. But the gospel says that your days aren't random. They don't just happen. They're purposeful. And you begin to stop asking questions like, well, how can I keep my life the way it is and control it and try to postpone my death and have all my ducks in a row? You begin to start asking a question like this: how can I spend my life? Not how can I keep it, but how can I spend it and use it? When you know Jesus Christ and the joy of belonging to him, you can forgive others because you're not clinging to this world as if it's all there is. You can be generous because you're not trying to purchase safety. You can face death without bravado because your comfort isn't your courage, but your Savior. If you feel the weight of your mortality, don't wait. Come to Christ. And so, here's the one thing that I want you to know on a Sunday night. You're going to die. You're going to die. Often sooner than you think. So prepare now by belonging to Jesus and living ready for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your word, which oftentimes speaks to us warnings and oftentimes speaks to us in very serious tones. And here in the book of Ecclesiastes, even out of our own personal experience of the angst, the hardship, the harshness, the randomness of life. But it all points us to that reality that you, Lord, are in control of our lives. You've made us and you've given your son so amazingly for us. What are we? We're mist. We're dust. For grass that the wind blows over and it's gone. But yet you have looked upon us and loved us. And Lord, draw to yourself your children tonight. Encourage your saints. Strengthen, we pray, this congregation to know the gospel and to share it with every single person that we come into contact with our words and with our deeds. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, amen.